This episode of Obscure Chatter is brought to you by Bill Shakespeare. All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances. And one man in his time plays many parts, his acts being seven ages. At first, the infant, mewling and puking in the nurse's arms. And then the whining schoolboy, with his satchel and shining morning face, creeping like snail unwillingly to school. And then the lover, sighing like furnace with a woeful ballad made to his mistress's eyebrow. Then a soldier, full of strange oaths and bearded like the pard, jealous in honor, sudden and quick in quarrel, seeking the bubble reputation, even in the cannon's mouth. And then the justice, in fair round belly with good cape and lined, with eyes severe and beard of formal cut, full of wise saws and modern instances. And so he plays his part. The sixth age shifts into the lean and slippered pantaloon. With spectacles on nose and pouch on side, his youthful hose well saved, a world too wide for his shrunk shank and his big manly voice, turning again toward childish treble, pipes and whistles in his sound. Last scene of all that ends this strange, eventful history is second childishness and mere oblivion. Sans teeth, sans eyes, sans taste, sans everything. And now, on to the episode. Woo! I'm not gonna tell you guys how many takes that might have taken. But here we are. Welcome to Obscure Chatter. I am your host, Terry Doty. And this is a really fucking weird show already. You're welcome and I'm sorry. Not sorry. If this is your first time listening, welcome. And if this isn't, welcome back, you beautiful bitches. I mean that in the best way, like the kind that makes puppies bitches, not like the ones that get stitches. Oh my God. So you're already asking, hey, so Terry, what the fuck was that? I got it in my head just over and over with all of these social media posts about the Southern accent basically being our British accent or something about that. I don't know. But it got me, my head tumbling around and, you know, since I have a little more free time than I've been used to lately, I decided, maybe since Mama doesn't have real sponsors, that she's referring to herself as Mama, Mama's just gonna keep going off the fucking rails with sponsorships that aren't really sponsorships. So, ta-da, Bill Shakespeare. That is one of my Southern accents. If you want to go ahead and just clip that and send that off to, the agents in LA, New York, and be like, hey, it's crazy that you're not using this insane bitch. By all means, please give a bitch credit and go to terrydoty.com to give them some more information. But yeah, aside from that, I've got nothing for you on that front. It is the end of April, which Steven and I were talking about this. It is wild that April is still going, if that makes sense. Like, it feels like April has been like 3 months, actually, to whereas like February and March just kind of, I don't understand it, but I'm also grateful. Oh my gosh. The idea for that monologue was to do it all in one take. If you liked it, great. If you didn't, shut your fucking mouth. I don't care. And actually, before we get to questions and topic requests, There was something about my sponsorship last month that I want to talk about. And this is my birthday month episode, so I do want to talk about, like, hey, what I did on my 40th. And but I feel like I should bring this up because I got a couple messages from only men. Only men. And I'm talking no fewer than 5 messages about how it was borderline inappropriate to make my fake sponsorship last month. Guys, what the fuck is your problem? First of all, it's called Obscure Chatter. Second of all, it's hosted by me. What the fuck did you think was going to happen when you messaged me like that? Because I'm definitely going to bring it up. So I'm still in a good mood, and I think this came from a good place. Let's give you the benefit of the doubt. If not, fuck the fuck off to fucktown, fucky. Bye. Fuckity bye. Anyways, for those of you who haven't listened to the beginning or just last month's episode at all, I always make a fake sponsorship episode. And I say I always. I want to say it's been at least the past 5 shows, but it's just something because people, PR firms, advertising firms have been reaching out since the beginning of that anime show 14 plus years ago, trying to get trying to get me to pay for their services and helping finding sponsors. There have been a couple of nibbles with Obscure Chatter, just like there were a couple nibbles here and there with that anime show where Tatum, Steven, and myself really talked and we just couldn't find one that we vibed with. I've had a couple with Obscure Chatter, none of which really had anything to do with my vibe, which is, I mean, the word obscure is in the title. So I, being a former employee of a marketing advertising firm, a former senior copywriter for that firm, I learned a lot in that year. And also, I've been writing and winning poetry contests in high school, doing short films, screenplays, localization scripts, short bits of copy for radio, television, film, and demo purposes for my fellow creatives. I decided, since I don't have any sponsorships, I'm not beholden to any sponsors, so I'm going to make up fake sponsorships. Last month's was honestly a very throwaway thing. Anyone that's been following me or listening to me or both, hello, hi, for a while knows that I love romance novels and I talk about erotica, I talk about dark fantasy, da 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 da. I do not kink shame here, baby. As long as everything is 100% consensual, da 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 da. But, here in Texas, Pornhub didn't like the way Texas was kind of trying to police a bunch of stuff. So Pornhub pulled out, no pun intended, of Texas. So you can't go to Pornhub. So my joke in the beginning of the last episode was smut. If you live in Texas, that's pretty much all you have now. And I had girlfriends be like, ha, totally get it, ba-da-ba-ba-ba. But then apparently, what I didn't factor in was the men. What about the men, Terry? And I've seen it come up on my feeds on, TikTok and Twitter, where some dudes are like, these, like, book talk women, da-da-da, like, they're just, like, listening to and reading porn. I'm really sorry that it offends you, but it really isn't fully just about that. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about smut. Let's talk about the men, because my God, only 97% of things are about the straight white male experience. What the fuck is happening? We need all of it. Damn it. Like, that was my male voice that I was going for. Guys, so, if even mentioning the word smut, S-M-U-T, makes you uncomfortable or, like, legit triggers you, 100%. Skip listening. Skip reading. Anything that doesn't bring you joy. There's no reason to force yourself to read or listen to anything that makes you squirm for the wrong reasons. Hello. That said, I want you to go back in time. This is a 40-year-old talking, so I don't really know the scope of how schools handle sex education, but I'm going back in time, and you may or may not be around the same age as me, and had to sit through, the boys are going to go to one classroom, the girls are going to go to another, and they're going to talk about stuff. Be sure to have your signed paper from your family, or you can sit out in the hall until the people that have a signed paper can go. Here in Texas, abstinence is what was really taught, which was quite something in like high school, because I actually remember multiple sex education classes. I don't think there was one when I lived anywhere else. I went to a few schools in California and then South Texas and then West Texas and then here in North Texas. I cannot recall really anything before that. But I know that some schools don't do it now. They leave that up to the parents, which when I was considering being a parent, I'm like, my God, how am I going to handle this? It wasn't going to be going, the only safe sex is the sex you're not having, which I actually think is a much more clever way than the way other people handled it. But anyways, back to smut and sex education. So, whenever we talked about it, it wasn't really for anything other than medically accurate sex ed, right? Like, it was the bare bones, like, where, like, again, they stressed abstinence and they talked about, you know, teen pregnancy and, oh my gosh, all this stuff. But really, if they did talk about sex itself, it was through, let's call a penetrative gaze or penetrative lens. Everything was through the male perspective of sex. If that wasn't your experience, I'm so jealous of you. But there was really no shame about it. When we talked about sex, like if we're talking about women, we're talking about our risk of pregnancy, our risk of STIs. There was no shame for the male side, it talked about, really, it began and ended with male insert and male ejaculation. I promise, we're all getting somewhere, I promise. But women and marginalized groups, what about us? The female body has the only thing on the body that is specifically designed for pleasure. Which I once said to a friend, and he's like, he's a sexually active gay man. He's like, we can find pleasure just fine. Like, no, bitch, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying on our bodies, there is something that's only purpose is a bundle of nerve endings that just can be pretty fucking great. I'm losing so many people right now, but hopefully I'm gaining some people too, or keeping some people. I promise I have a point, because we are talking about the males that had their feelings hurt by me merely mentioning smut. I did not talk about BDSM. I did not talk about I'm so like overwhelmed with the things I didn't talk about, because all I did was mention smut, which they alluded to that being like worse than like the word porn. I'm so freaking confused by that. But anyways, sex ed was really about the culmination of male orgasm, and then lesson done. You know, I think about, like, Mean Girls when the coach is, like, just throwing condoms at people. I'm like, we didn't get those. I don't even know what they would do now. It's just, it was something that we all had a good laugh at, you know, especially in high school, because some of us were sexually active. I was kind of terrified about my friends being so sexually active. And I basically, I wasn't sexually active until like toward the end of high school. And even then, looking back on it now, I'm like, man, why was I in such a rush? But anyways, that's a personal thing. So we, I'm saying we as in women and marginalized groups again, we didn't feel emboldened the way I felt our male counterparts were. There was nothing, like, in the form of community. There, like, you know, women didn't really have, like, you know, locker room talk or talking about conquest, numerous conquests, whatever it is. And if we did, my God, we were so quick to get shamed for that. So what we end up doing, or ended up doing, at least on my thing, is just kind of trial by fire with being like, all right, I guess I'm going to learn about this stuff through other sources. And, I mean, internet's a dangerous place to learn some stuff. And also Google will be like, what you're looking for sounds pretty fucked up. I don't know. I once got in trouble for saying the word vagina in a script. The word vagina. I wasn't actually showing anybody like a storyboard of like a vagina that I wanted shot on screen. Nothing. Just the word vagina. That's it. So what do? We have to seek out information on our own about erogenous zones. Pleasure centering around the female experience, the female orgasm, consent. Consent is something that isn't just talked about, which is, you know, I don't know. We could talk about that. Queer sex and so much more. There's just so much that we are left to talk about, to figure out on our own. Again, bless the internet. But be wary of the internet as well. So, let's get back to smut. Smut. This seems to have, for me at least, have been a very healing thing, is to find books where I'm basically unlearning some very not great things that I assumed were normal and made me feel wrong when it came to sex ed. Or just having sex, being a sexual person. And some of that stuff really fucked me up for years. So, for me, I can't speak about any other smut reader, any other romance reader. Lately, we've been very vocal about what we enjoy in our book reviews, in be those video reviews, podcast reviews, Goodreads reviews, Amazon. Actually, Amazon can be a little bit like, hey, you can't say this. I'm like, hey, I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just saying stuff that's in a book that you have available. So you just got to edit yourself a little bit more. But anyways, like, these smut books are where we're finding stories that explore kinks, communication, honesty in a sexual relationship, just bare-bones stuff that should just be the normal. But we're calling it smut. Smut in itself probably has, like, a pretty nasty connotation to it. But for me, no, it helped me unlearn things that were often traumatic and demeaning to me as a person. And I feel empowered a lot more now. And I gotta tell you, men, I have a bunch of girlfriends that are in committed relationships, and men are just now picking up on this. You want your women reading smut. You want your women reading romance because it gives them ideas that you're not going to complain about. maybe they'll pretend like it was their idea, but if they just finished reading a book and suddenly they're into it, spoiler alert, they just read a spicy scene. Guarantee. Okay, like 97% sure that they just got done reading something spicy. And you should thank the author. There you go. So, I'm sorry, not sorry. Perhaps I would argue you to inner reflect on how the simple mention of smut elicits such a strong negative reaction. Romance, erotica, it helps people feel turned on, explore fantasy, yes, but it's healing. And oh, so much more. Just something to think about. And I mean, I could honestly make a whole show about like, oh, da-da-da-da-da. No, that's enough for me. So, if you have a problem with any sponsorships going forward, please know I'll likely talk about them in the next show. Not shaming anybody, but you're not going to basically talk at me about something that I decided to do on my show that was honestly pretty lighthearted, and then you made me have to, like, explain it for, like, the first 20 frickin' minutes of my show after I did some Bill Shakespeare. Sir, calm down. Anyways, I hope that helps. And now we water. But anyways, happy April. You know? Oh, wow. What an interesting beginning to the show. Now, I want to thank everybody that submitted questions, topic requests. I'm not going to necessarily get to all of them because I definitely wasn't fully expecting to go off on the smut rant, but I feel like it was necessary, and I hope you enjoyed it. Well, I hope most of you enjoyed it. Some of you, what are you doing here? But we got, yeah, topic requests. And let's see, as far as music, movies, shows, books, music, we'll keep it simple. Garbage. Who doesn't love garbage? I actually know a lot of people in school that weren't really into what Shirley Manson and her gang were throwing. But I caught it, loved it, especially the first two albums. Those are the only ones I cared to collect. But, oh, man, it's interesting to hear their progression. But as I've been warming up going to the studios lately, I've been listening to a lot of the self-titled 95 album, especially A Stroke of Luck, which I believe is the name. And version 2.0 is always just fun. But yeah, there's a few things. I honestly have been missing streaming music. I stopped streaming because it's getting expensive. And then when I listen to, like, stuff on, like, YouTube or basically anywhere that's free, if it's something like, oh, hey, you just have to listen to an ad, I'm like, I miss just sharing music with somebody and then immediately being able to listen to it. So I think I'm going to go back to streaming. But in the car, it's nothing but CDs. Minimizing Blu-ray. I just really hate when songs, like, just clip out. I don't know. I'm a big fan of physical media. I think we're all kind of re-falling in love, or falling in love again might have been a better way to phrase that. But let's see. Yeah, books. On my birthday, I kept things very, very chill. But one thing I did was I did a girl brunch with some girlfriends. And these also inadvertently kind of became my book club friends. Like, when my best friend and I kind of broke up, I say kind of, we broke up, I lost my, like, go-to book buddy. I don't know if anyone else can relate to this. I'm sure we can. But, yeah, like, we were walking around, and my girl Katie, who's one of my favorite people on this entire planet, Katie Moyer, famous hair and makeup artist. But, she tends to read stuff that I don't read, which is, she reads a lot of mystery thriller, and that's not my go-to at all. But we're walking around, and we're talking about, is it Freda McFadden? I want to say that's her last name. Like, we read the Housemaid series of books together, and there's a third one coming out this year that we're all, like, kind of jonesing to read. But she's like, well, obviously you've read Riley Sager. Like, don't know who that is. And so I had her remind me and picked up Lock Every Door. And I liked it. I liked it a lot. I just finished another Riley Sager book that wasn't fully my vibe, but I like the way he writes. I like the way he writes women. That might be shocking to some people, but I love that my girls are challenging me to read different stuff. So Lock Every Door was haunting. It, I was reading it in bed, just kind of like, oh, I don't really read mystery thrillers or things like listed as that. And I'm just like scrunching up in bed, being like, oh God, what's going to happen? I dug it a lot. And then another girlfriend in this group, I might have mentioned them before. These are girls that I used to work with at the marketing advertising firm. I try to go out of my way not to say the name of the place, but it's going to come out one day and nothing will happen. But another girl that I worked with, Emily, in our group that we call You Can't Sit With Us. But you can sit with us most of the time, as long as you're not a dick. You know, as long as you're not like, hey, what about the men? Why isn't there a man in this group? Have you guys not thought? No, anyways. But Emily had been begging at least just one of us to read Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros. And I had told her, I'm like, I tried. I just couldn't. And she was like, flabbergasted by that, because I do love dragon books. If we're talking about smut again, like dragon shifter books, don't want to. That's all I'm gonna say about that. But I guess I just read something similar when I tried to read it. But like, I could tell that she was really let down. She's like, I just need somebody else to read it so I could talk about it. God damn it. So what I did is I gave it a redemption read, and it worked. It really was that I just read something too similar previously. And I'd read a couple of things by Rebecca Yarros before, and I gotta say, it just clicked this time. And I know it clicked because Steven and I tend to read different books, but sometimes we'll read something at the same time. He'll typically choose the audiobook, which is reading, for those of you who say that isn't. It's just using a different sense. Don't be a dick. And I tend to I tend to read with my Kindle, and if I like it, then I'll physically buy it. That's my way of saving some money. Also, Kindle Unlimited is a great option if you want to save some money. I mean, it's like millions of books for just $12 a month. It's something that it's also just easier for my eyes than like an iPad or anything like that. But I listened to the audiobook for it, and the narrator, oh God, I wish I knew her name, but oh, it actually might be the same narrator as the Lunar Chronicles. But yeah, no, I know I dug this book because I kept telling Steven things that were going on in the book, even though he hadn't read it yet, but now he wants to read it. And yeah, I'm borrowing it from the library, and I'm just waiting like 2 more weeks to get the second book. Library is also an amazing option. Never forget about your local library, people. It took me a long time to realize just how good their digital library is. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, so those are my two main books, is Lock Every Door by Riley Sager and Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros. Shows, I'm enjoying the return of Star Trek Discovery. I feel like it's a little slow, but that's the thing about certain seasons of your favorite, like sci-fi, is it's a slow burn. You've been with these characters for a while. Just be patient. And, you know, sometimes I'm just an impatient ass that way. So it's a bummer that they won't continue. I think they started off real strong, and I'm looking forward to returning back to it. It's not a show that I just finished, but I did recently get the news that Star Trek Lower Decks is not continuing, and that's a big bummer to me, because I love it. I think the voice acting is great. Big shout out to basically the entire cast. I do have a soft spot for Jack Quaid. I guess I have a little bit of a crush on him, but I just think his vocal talent is stellar, and I hope he gets to do more voice acting. I hope so. And I also love him in The Boys, too. He's just all around a great, great actor. And then movies. They're like, I finally got Steven to watch The Changeling, which I have it on VHS, but I had been meaning to try to get him to watch it. He'd never seen it. It's a 1980 film with George C. Scott. It is slow, but it's still real damn good. So if you Steven watched it, he's like, oh my God, he just picked up on little things that I do. I will not explain to you why I do this unless you've seen it. Even if you've seen it, you might be like, why do you do that? But I do this like little Joseph thing. And it's from The Changeling. It makes no sense whatsoever if you haven't seen the movie, which Steven's like, I thought that was from a Key and Peele sketch, which fair. I do love Key and Peele. But the main two flicks that I said I would talk about, and one I guess I just hadn't mentioned before. But the first one is Lisa Frankenstein. It's, I believe, the directorial debut of Zelda Williams. And wow, what a first film. Like, I don't know. It just felt like somebody who'd been making films for a while. If you have seen it and you don't like it, that is totally fine. I can see not everybody digging it. I loved it pretty much from like the jump. I did. It's like, think if you haven't seen it, if you're a horror dork, you might have seen this really weird movie. I don't know if it's necessarily horror. Whatever, it's got zombies in it. My Boyfriend's Back is a really weird movie with, like, a very young, like, Philip Seymour Hoffman as, like, a go-to, like, high school football bully. He's not the lead at all, but it's My Boyfriend's Back. It's a really weird movie about a guy that digs a girl so much that he comes back from the dead, but he's still technically a zombie or technically undead. And then, like, think, like, that meets Heathers, but with, like, a John Waters lens. That's the vibe I got. The performances are great. It's got one of the Sprouse twins. I want to say it's Dylan. There are some people that are really into the mythology, or just history and filmography of the twins. I just remember those were the twins that were in the Adam Sandler Big Daddy later, and they were in Friends, then they were in The Suite Life of Zack and Cody, and then one was in The Riverdale Show, another did like a lot of like book adaptations of romance novels that may or may not be spicy, but yeah. So, the Sprouse twin, I'm gonna say it's Dylan. I'm 98% sure that it's Dylan. But Dylan, like, did, like, this, like, mime, like, physicality thing to his performance that I just adored. Kind of, honestly, maybe it's because, it definitely leans itself to the goth or the goth at heart. Made me think of, like, the way, like, people used to swoon over Johnny Depp, like circa Edward Scissorhands, Benny and June, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, I got that vibe from him. And then Catherine Newton, who's the lead, I've seen her be in a bunch of stuff. I still haven't seen Freaky, which I need to. I remember her from Supernatural, and she's just had such a great career, and I know she's going to be in that new Abigail movie that I want to check out. Who doesn't love a vampire ballerina? Who? I don't want to meet that person. But yeah, it was so sweet. It in no way took itself too seriously, but there were very touching moments to it. And also, it's just beautiful. It's lit beautiful. A lot of people, like when they do the 80s, they do tend to do this Technicolor, like bright, but there's lots of purples, lots of blues, lots of pinks. And I love it, even though for my memory of the 80s is there was just a fuckload of brown, like way too much brown. Like the 80s had a lot of brown. Even our cars had wood paneling, had a nice little wood belt. Like that's how much we loved brown. I say that as someone who was born in 84, so do with that what you will. But another one, it came out 4 years ago, Last Night in Soho. And this is something that, like now that I've seen it, I'm shocked that it took me so long to watch it. Because it's Edgar Wright. I mean, there was a birthday that I had where I did like it, the whole theme was just like it's an Edgar Wright double feature. And we watched Baby Driver and The World's End. Out of the entire Cornetto trilogy, The World's End is my favorite. But that's not to say I don't love Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. I'm also a big fan of Spaced, which was how Edgar met Simon and Nick and Jessica. Last Night in Soho was just so different for him. It was a love letter to Italian horror, especially 80s Italian horror. And, pardon me. Think like movies like Suspiria, Deep Red, basically anything Argento related. It had haunting performances. I think Matt Smith, one thing that I said to Steven, like I paused, because we had to do a couple of pauses. There were some things that really triggered both of our anxieties in very different ways. And I think that was intentional. I do think that was intentional, which is just, man, I can't wait to see what Edgar does next. Because I feel like he just did something totally different than what was expected of him. But I was telling this to Steven on one of the pauses is Matt Smith, please never prove me wrong. But I have this idea that Matt Smith is probably a very nice, adorable man because in my experience as an actor, I found that the nicest people play the best dickheads, play the best monsters because it's so unlike them. I don't know. I could try to explain that in another thing if you guys want me to, or attempt to explain it. Not everything's going to be a big smut speech, I promise. But Last Night in Soho, all the performances, they knew when to go big, but there was something about when they were subdued and very simple. And again, yeah, the cinematography, gorgeous. It just, there were moments that had me crying. There were moments that were just hauntingly beautiful. At like, yeah, like the first time that Anna Taylor-Joy's character, and oh my God, I forget the lead actress's name opposite Anna, or Anya. But her character's name was Eloise. I think Eloise, and she, their first time meeting and interacting with each other. It's just clever cinematography. It's not a bunch of green screen stuff. It's very real. It felt very theatrical. I could go on about it forever, but I hate that it took me so long to watch it. But here we are. We're fixing mistakes here. It's April, damn it. You're 40. Grow up and watch all the things. I don't know what that means. But someone asked me a top comfort food for April. Question, top food for April. Top comfort food. We've talked about film. I don't know. I'm always adjusting my foods or whatever. It's never about dieting. It's about just changing your relationship with food. And as much as I love fried foods and stuff, as you get older, you have to start managing when you decide to indulge. Like earlier today, we had a halal, and it's from this awesome little convenience store that has a restaurant in the back. They are so nice. They are, like, if you live in the area, if you live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I will gladly tell you where it is. I'll drop a link. Why not? I will drop a link in the episode itself, which I always drop links. All you have to do is hover over the mention of it, and there's a link. It'll pop up. Boop. We get a lot of, you can order directly from them, or sometimes if you just go off to the side, they have prepared things that you can just go grab and go to the register at the front, check out, boom, you're done. Yeah, they're so freaking nice there. But, you know, it's like a, hey, I know exact, like, it's a mom and pop shop, you know, I love shopping local whenever I can, but I also know it's going to be minimal, fuck you, deep fried. Minimal. Like I got some really yummy falafel and all that. And I'm like, man, this falafel's fried to shit, but it's a falafel. So it evens out, but, comfort food, it feels like April has been going for like 3 months, which I may or may not have mentioned already, but it really does feel like it's been a long month. So I'm like, man, okay. So the beginning, I would have said this, but now that we're toward the end of April, I'll go with my birthday cake. Why not? It's a Neapolitan tres leche cake from Claudia's Bakery in Bedford. It is the absolute best. Even though they're cursive, Stephen had them write happy birthday in happy birthday wifey, which is his nickname for me, in cursive, and then let it sit in the sun a little too long, so it melted. So it honestly looked like it said, happy birthday, Whitey. W-I-T-E-Y. So I'm like, sure, why not? And someone made a joke on, like, Twitter, like, that's what I'm going to call you when I see you next time at a con. I'm like, please do not call me Whitey. That will not go well. Even if I get the reference, please don't do that. So, yeah, second would probably be seasoned French fries. I guess, it's birthday themed because my birthday meal is like, you can take, like, my husband's like, we can go anywhere. We can go to our favorite restaurant. I'm like, honestly, I would love it if you could make me a burger. My husband's the best chef around as far as I'm concerned. So he made me a nice little burger, made some seasoned curly fries, which are my absolute fave. And also a strawberry milkshake courtesy of Walter Bishop. One of my favorite shows is Fringe, and Walter's recipe for the strawberry milkshake is online. So Stephen found it, and he made it, and it was delicious. There's so much sugar, and I'm not a big sugar person, but yeah. Oddly enough, I did a girls' brunch with my You Can't Sit With Us group, and we went to Meddlesome Moth in Dallas and then did some antiquing. Love these girls, but I rarely get to see them. We're all just very busy in very different ways. One of us is a new mom. The other is just like a giant makeup mogul. The other is an amazing art director with Fossil. And then there's my goofy voice actor butt. We all keep very different schedules, but I like ask them a month in advance. I'm like, take this time off. And I love Meddlesome Moth because, like, the tables are spread out in a nice way. So it helps my anxiety as far as, you know, COVID. But, as a whole, do I still have to be careful when I say COVID? I don't know. For some people, and even for some jobs, like, where I mention, like, lockdown and how things slowed down, they'll be like, what lockdown? I'm like, oh, fuck this. And just leave the job. We all got there, and I realized that I hadn't told them I stopped drinking, and only one person remembered from a social media post. But, you know, the waiter comes and he's like, are we getting mimosas? I'm like, I will have a lemonade. And Katie didn't, nobody shamed me. Let me be clear. Katie's like, what do you mean a lemonade? Like, it's birthday brunch. I'm like, oh, I don't drink anymore. And she just went, okay. And they all just went, okay. I don't know why I was so freaked out to tell them. But anyway, so then we all ordered, and I ordered this blueberry French toast. And in the middle of us all eating, Katie like leaned over to me. She's like, are you really not eating? Are you really not putting syrup on your French toast? Like, what are you talking about? She's like, you needed to ask, like, I thought you were just being polite. Like, are you really not eating syrup? Like, I don't really do syrup. And she, like, stopped everyone else's conversation. This woman is eating this French toast like a freak. I'm like, this is what I'm going to get raked over the coals for. But I didn't, like, I don't do syrup with French toast. Am I alone here? Please tell me I'm not alone here. But yeah, if I want a topping, it'll be whipped cream. I'm a whipped cream over syrup person. I don't know. Tell me I'm not alone here. But thank you for your question about comfort food. And as always, whenever you give me questions and topics, I keep everything anonymous. So you can ask me whatever and not fear being called out for anything other than the subject of your message. Again, smut. Pardon me. Oh, God, do I have to burp again? No. But there was one thing where I thought about this and I'm like, oh, maybe I'll like write down a couple of things, but it was just too open-ended for me. So I apologize if I'm giving you too broad of an answer for this next one, but it is me. So there we go. Is there any TV show, movie, anime that made a huge impact on you and changed you as a person? So I thought about it. And as a former latchkey kid, it's just something where I know that I'm not alone here, but I'm attached to movies and television more than anything else because it was very much my babysitter. The TV was very much my babysitter growing up, more often than an actual babysitter. So I was left alone a lot with TVs to kind of watch over me. So those kind of became the way I would learn things. I would stop basically asking questions because I knew that there was going to be some kind of TV reference to something eventually. Yeah, that was the way that I learned about sex. Although from like Red Shoe Diaries, I would imagine, I don't think I ever imagined that my sexual encounters would all be through a very soft, like Fresnel Oprah lens with soft music and very soft lighting, all that. But I learned about different perspectives. I got to watch a lot of great different lives. I think TV just stopped me from being an asshole, or at least a specific brand of asshole. Can I explain that? Maybe. Will I? Not right now. But yeah, like I'm thinking of like TV, movie, anime. I got into anime late in life anime watcher. I watch both. I watch sub and I watch dub. There's some great anime out there. There are some great TV shows out there. There's some great movies. But I can't think of just one because so many are important to me for very different reasons. Just like you have, like comfort foods. There are comfort shows, comfort movies. But what I did think about is I was probably overthinking this very nice, kind, asked in good faith question was that I don't know if I would have become a performer without any of those. But I don't think that's necessarily a new perspective. It's just, I remember like watching Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and keying in on Alfonso Rivera's like voice and then watching like Extreme Ghostbusters and being like, holy crap, that's Carlton. Or, watching like Growing Pains and being like, hey, JT's friend, oh my God, that's Max Goof. Like I loved being able to point people out and I loved like just fresh bits of dialogue and being like, oh, that's such a good line. And so I think there's something to perhaps the latchkey perspective. There's an escapism that is very freeing with TV, movies, anime, that probably saved me a lot more than I'll ever truly grasp. But yeah, so that was my answer. That wasn't an answer at all. Now, we got a lot of questions, actually, that because I spent like 20 minutes talking about smut, I don't want to overstay my welcome there. But if I didn't answer your question, I do save them to perhaps throw them in later. So fret not if I did not answer a question or if I do not cover a topic request. That doesn't mean I won't talk about it. So the biggest one that people asked about has to do with Steven's Instagram post from not this last Friday, but the Friday before. For those that remember, I had mentioned either last episode, I want to say it was the episode before last, but where, you know, I had gone to my doctor and explained just some bullshit that I'm just not enjoying dealing with. And she recommended birth control. What I didn't know until she was like, you know, think about it. And then get back to me. I went ahead and scheduled an appointment to do birth control, even though I wasn't sure what kind or anything like that, because I'm like, fuck it. Yeah, let's go. It wasn't until I got home and started doing some research that the first thing was like, that's just something doctors do just to throw something at the wall and see what sticks. I like my doctor, but I definitely believe that is what happened, because the symptoms that I threw out to her were something that now looking back, I'm like, it was really weird that the first thing was, what about birth control? But because Texas has been especially hellscapey this past year and continues to get worse, Google is your friend there. Steven and I have talked about, like, well, what are we going to do? Like, you know, because we actively decided, for those who are longtime listeners, you'll know, and I just don't feel like talking about it at length here, at this time. Steven and I tried, to have kids, and we had a pretty horrendous miscarriage through that, and we just don't plan on trying again because it was that traumatic for us, and it still is to this day, and it probably always will be. But we're like, well, I was paranoid about what Texas might be doing to access to birth control, so I didn't want to get on something on top of that with all my other reservations just to possibly have the state take it away. And I didn't want to get a hysterectomy because that's a big, big procedure. I had a friend just recently where she had some problems and they recommended they were only going to take part of it. And then they went in and they're like, it was worse than we thought. We're taking everything. And she'd already had her kids and, you know, she made her peace with that, but she's still not 100% okay with having to make that decision in the moment. And that's all I'll say about that for her, just because anything else, it's not really my story to tell. But I'm freaked out about that. And I also, I'm like, man, like insurance would find a way not to pay for it. Like it get in my head to where it's like, Steven was like, well, me, it's an outpatient thing. He spent a little bit of time really struggling to get the appointment. But anyways, we went to a consultation together. We try to go to each other's doctor's appointments. We're at that level of marriage now. And yeah, it was a very masculine waiting room. And what I mean by that is there was a lot of like tall, like cushy, imposing chairs all in a row. Everything's just a little messy to where I'm like, I'm used to very cold, very simple lined, like lots of what I'm referring to as millennial gray, a lot of soft, nothing blue walls, blah, blah, blah. But, where there was a lot of wood, a lot of cherry wood, a lot of rich browns, a lot of textures in this waiting room. Where I'm like, we get it. We're in a man's office. But we went back, and very, very soon we... it's either, like, the surgeon's assistant or, like, I don't know what this guy's actual job was. But Stephen and I kept calling him Tommy Chong because... we just saw the long hair. He was very, yeah, man, with, you know, very, what's another thing? Acid Merlin, where he's just like, yeah, you know, it's what, so we're done having kids, I guess, right? Steven's like, yeah. He's like, how many kids you got, man? Steven's like, zero. He's like, right on. Looked at me like, right on. Where the fuck are we? Like, I don't know if this is a good thing or if this is like a red flag that we're avoiding, but he was actually really nice, and explained like what's going to happen in the procedure. Da-da-da-da. And, we checked out and, were able to do our copay, but like the procedure wasn't covered by insurance, I think. Or what we paid was actually very little compared to like if I had done a giant surgery, but, I don't know why I hyper-focused on this, but as Steven's checking out and they're, like, scheduling the actual thing, I'm looking at this candy bowl that is nothing but Blow Pops. And my first instinct was to be like, sour apple. You either get that or you don't. I'm 40. Leave me alone. But I'm like, why Blow Pops out of all the candies? Blow Pops. And then I looked to my right and there's like a whole dish of Werther's. And then I look behind me and it's Tootsie Pops. These are just very weird candies to have together at an office where my husband's going to get a vasectomy. I don't know. I can't really fully explain to you why, but I just remember being like, Blow Pops? And what did my ass do? I grabbed one of every one. I'm like, boop, 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 boop. Like, Steven's checking out, and they're seeing me just, But yeah, the thing that he was actually freaked out about the most is he wasn't going to be put fully under. It was outpatient. It was going to, like, the procedure's pretty quick. He was freaked out about being on Valium. He'd never been on Valium before. He doesn't really like things where he feels like he's not in control, which I totally get. But he was more freaked out about that than the procedure. And then I went with him to get his vasectomy, sat in the waiting room, saw a lot of dudes that I'm guessing were on the same amount of volume, just talking really loudly about how beautiful their wife is. And the wife's just, like, working, like, remotely with her laptop. She's like, you're freaking out, everybody else in the waiting room. Shut up. And then they go back. I'm like, I wonder if he's here for vasectomy, too. I don't know. But the nurse kept popping in to be like, he's doing good. Ba-da-da. And Steven kept, like, posting or sending me photos. And then, yeah, they let me know when they started, they let me know when they ended, and then the doctor talked to me about how to take care of him, and just, he was nice. I don't know, I hate that I'm shocked when doctors are nice, but yeah, they didn't say it to me, but like, remember, for the next 60 days, you're a loaded weapon, you're a loaded gun, and Steven's like, okay, so we have a follow-up next week, but everything went fine. And it seems like a lot of people wanted to ask me how Steven was doing instead of asking him. But if they were a friend in Texas, they didn't ask why. They knew. I've noticed that there's a big uptick in birth control and vasectomies. And again, Google is your friend because... Texas is an interesting place to live right now. Always, actually. Another topic people wanted to talk about, and it's going to be really, really quick, is the, like, what, how does it feel? I got tagged in a lot of these things, which is interesting. For those that don't know, I've been voice acting for 16 years. I got my start as Woman A in Tsubasa Season 2. And then when I started directing and stuff, after I finished my internship in college and graduated, I was immediately offered voice directing work. And because I voice directed, I just started getting better as a voice actor. Acting for the microphone is very, very different. And for stage and screen actors, it can be very jarring to not be working and playing for an audience or for your fellow performer that you're sharing the scene with. Your partner is the microphone as a voice actor. But anyways, all that's to be said is, like, I was me being a contractor with Funimation Entertainment. And now Funimation's website is officially gone, and it's just Crunchyroll. People are like, how's it feel? Like, it's not gone. And I can't speak to really anything because I've never actually been an employee. You may or may not know me because of Funimation titles, but I'm a contractor. So that being said, they're not gone. Everybody that was working and is still working, just the name has changed. The app has changed. I've had some very deep conversations with fans that have become friends over the years about them losing access to stuff because of the switchover. I know I got an email because I had a funny account. And then they're like, hey, it's going away. I'm like, I know. but I don't really have any feelings about it. But I know a lot of other people do. But yeah, it's interesting. And I still say funny because it's just less weird than crunchy to me. But yeah. Speaking of that, I really want to thank everybody again for burping and being sexy. Sorry, everybody. I'll leave that for my smut books. She belched erotically. What? But anyways, we were talking about anime. I get to work with amazing people throughout my career, in and out of anime. But there's a new show that I'm in called A Condition Called Love, and it's shoujo. It's adorable. And I was telling the director, Helena, like, I was not prepared for the amount of love I got. And I was like, is this, like, a really popular show? And I, like, Helena kind of bless your hearted me in the nicest way possible, because what I was like, is this a really big show? Because I got a lot of love for that. And Helena, very politely, because we met working on Bofuri together, where she was Natalie Hoover's engineer on that, and she's just worked her way up through the ranks. And I think some of the best directors started out as sound engineers. I really do. They just, I don't know, they hear things in a different way and play with things in a different way. That's neither here nor there. But anyways, Helena was like, do you ever think that people were just, people just love you and were excited to hear you in something new? I'm like, in my head, I'm like, no. That was my first response, is, why would they do that? But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And I had, like, some people just being like, oh, I thought you stopped doing anime. Like, no, just slow. You know, that year that I went away, people stopped using me a little bit. And then, you know, newer directors come in, they get their own people. And it's also just the contractor life. It's not a matter of not working. It's a matter of maybe working on stuff that isn't something you can publicize. Like, I've been doing commercials and audiobooks again and all that. But I don't think you could get me to stop doing anime outright. Just keep growing. Keep accepting roles. And who knows what's going to come next. But yeah. And then people wanted to make sure that I had a good birthday. I love that. Like, who needs family that they don't really chat with. I'm low contact and no contact with most, if not all, of my family. Birthdays are as big as you want them to be when you don't have kind of family members, some family members dictating what they're doing for your birthday. Maybe that's just me. But initially, when I was a little bit busier, I was planning on doing this, like, I want to go to Arizona. I want to do, like, a tour of the Grand Canyon. I've only ever seen it, like, while flying over it. Like on a plane. And I've done helicopter rides, but I didn't want to do a helicopter ride over the Grand Canyon. There was something unsettling like that. But maybe, I don't know. A helicopter ride, as I learned in Vegas, will make you feel a lot of things because they will tell you where to sit based on your weight. And, you know, hey, rightfully so, but sometimes it's like where are we going to put this thick bitch? Right there. Howdy. Just tell me where to go. But, I don't know. I just wanted to save some money since work had, with the strike that happened and stuff, work slowed down a lot. And things that were coming up got canceled. I have a big, huge thing that I just have an opportunity to work on. And that might not actually amount to, like, a full-time gig, but, like, as a contractor and a creative, you have to plan for the "aw, shit" scenario all the time. So I'm like, all right, we can afford, between Steven's full-time job and, like, my gigs, we can afford this, but I just don't want to lose a fuck ton of money on, like, a birthday. I want it to be, like, I want us to be more secure for that. So canceled the Arizona trip. Also, finding a sitter for Will is interesting. She's such a diva. Will, our dog. But, I think I'm so glad I clarified that for y'all. But I'm like, honestly, I just want to thrift because I hate clothes shopping and stuff. And I'm like, I just want to find new to me stuff. Like, I'm not a reseller. I can't imagine thrifting with the sole purpose of reselling. It's like, I found a new bag. I found a Care Bears, a birthday bear, Care Bear, from 1984. I'm like, this is amazingly random. And I found it's going for like $40 plus on eBay, and I got it for $2. Or I found a weird Fabergé egg at Texas Thrift. I found a mouse rat shirt. I'm a big Parks and Rec person. I found a VHS of Brain Candy. How amazing is that? There was one thrift store where Stephen and I were very much in the minority everywhere we went because we wore masks, but nobody gave a shit. I'm always terrified about getting shit now. I don't know about anybody else wearing a mask, but there's only one register open, and the woman's, like, the cashier is clearly going through some stuff, so I just wait patiently with my cart. She's like, sorry. I'm like, take your time, da-da-da. She's like, thank you. And so I walk up, and I got a bunch of mugs to, she's like, would you mind if I just wrapped the t-shirts around the mug to protect them instead of, like, putting them in paper? I'm like, oh, no, that's what I would do. And like, here, let me help you. And we started, I helped her bag and stuff just because. And she's like, oh, by the way, I gave you a senior citizen discount, and then winked at me. And I'm like, oh, thanks. And I'm like, that's cool. And that actually saved me like $11. So as I'm walking out, I'm like looking at my reflection and remembering that I have the mask. I'm like, okay, really quick. Did she give me the senior citizen discount because it looks like I need it, or because I helped her out? And Steven's like, well, she wouldn't have whispered it if she thought you needed it. I'm like, I don't know. And I'm like, oh my God, she played like a mind game and then just sent me on my way with my used goods. I'm like, oh my God. But yeah, like aside from that is I kept it simple. I visit Coral Reef Coffee, which I'd been meaning to check out. It's in Flower Mound, and coconut mint matcha, that's my jam. Yeah, I went antiquing with the girls later. And yeah, we did Meddlesome Moth, Benny Jack and Lula Bees, caught up with a friend later that day at Ascension Coffee, all these things. And it's just like, I don't know. I'm glad that I kept it simple. Birthdays are a bit of a mixed bag for me sometimes, and I think that's the case with a lot of people, especially if they are low to no contact with family members. And having a very supportive partner through all of that is also helpful. I bought myself... oh my God. I bought myself Daria and Jane figurines from Mondo, but those won't actually be out until November. But I did that, and I also got myself an original refurbished 1989 original Game Boy and a Tetris, which that thing will warm up quick. But I'm about to take off my nails and give myself like a nail break. Like, okay, I can't wait to play Tetris without kind of fucking up my fingers playing it with these long ass nails. But yeah, I just kept it simple. The world, there are a lot of things going on that have definitely impacted my sleeping life. Like, I've woken up with some pretty hellacious nightmares. I don't know if anybody else can relate to this. I'm sorry if you can, and you're lucky if you can't. And then just figuring out, like, every day, like, hey, is this the day that things are going to go fucking sideways? And for some people, that is a luxury to just be worried about that, not have that be your day-to-day life. I understand there's a lot of privilege in just being able to step away and take a mental day and all that stuff. A lot of people right now do not have that luxury. But if you are chilling, if you are in a place where you need a moment and you've decided to listen to me, thank you. Like, we're almost 5 years into the journey that is Obscure Chatter with Terry Doty, and I'm enjoying it. I have no long-term plans for the show, but I'm gonna be doing it for the foreseeable future. It continues to grow. You guys continue to make it even better with your participation, with your feedback, both positive and critical. Positive makes my day. Critical is something that I'll always kind of keep in mind, but when you guys love a show, I love it more. When I love a show, I think that comes out. I really enjoyed this one, even though, you know, I may or may not have had to start re-recording because of a hard drive dying, which is what happened. And that was fun. But we made it. We made it, guys. So we will be back in May. And then in June, that will be our 5-year anniversary. We should do something up. We should go crazy antiquing or something. Let's do it up. But, if you want to be a part of the next show, please keep a lookout on my link tree through all my socials. I have a be a part of the podcast thing. When I have it enacted and enabled, you can be a part of it too. Until our paths cross again, read good shit. Watch good shit, and try not to be a shit, and maybe not get triggered by the word smut. Until next time.